as well as help us hear what we knew, what this is, it's unbelievable.
Okay. It's 6:30. I'll go ahead and call us to order. The Story County Board of Supervisors meeting as Granite District Trustees. One item on our agenda this evening, present information to landowners in the Granite District Grant Number 5 watershed concerning how much of the area is currently assessed for benefits to drainage, how much is within the existing district boundaries and is not assessed for benefit, and how much lies outside the existing district boundaries and could potentially be annexed into the district, and consider options of how to proceed with that information. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this evening's activities or discussion over to Kent Rohde. Kent is from the INS group, and he's been doing most of our drainage work here for the past couple of years. So, Kent, take it away.
Thanks, Paul. Kent Rohde, IS Group Drainage Engineer of our Algona office. This is Nick Fredrickson. I brought with him today to answer any questions that I can, and I'm sure he'll help out. Again, today we're here as have an informational meeting, informal hearing on Drainage District Number 5 grant. The purpose of the meeting today is to just gather information. I want to hear what you guys have to say, what your problems are, what the issues are, what you want us to study, if anything. So far, we've been directed by the board to put together a plat of the district or the watershed of the district, and that's all we've done. I'm sorry, we've had some handouts, obviously, better turnout than I expected on such a beautiful day like today. So if you could share where possible, I'd appreciate that. Otherwise, we can come up and look at this later if you want. But first off, I want to go through and describe what we did to obtain this map. We used LIDAR elevation data, the one that the state was flown here several years ago to determine elevation throughout the state. Generally in 1 meter squares, they flew over and shot a beam, laser beam down to the ground and recorded the time it took to come back to the airplane and basically correlated that with elevation. Did that over the whole state. It's great information used in planning purposes such as these and is accurate to within a few inches generally. There are some anomalies in some areas that generally is pretty accurate within itself. We also went out to the site, looked at culverts, intakes were possible, and determined flows through roadways and those types of things. We looked at the existing plat map to determine existing boundaries. We looked at the existing records for the existing assessment areas, or parcels that are currently being assessed, and came up with this map. You know, it's a lot of busy stuff going on there, and I'll try and lead you through that. Generally, I'll turn to this big one here. The flat dash line are the parcels that are on the current assessment schedule. Okay, so that will follow parcel lines. The blue line is a line that was scanned in the document that originally was intended to show the original boundary of the watershed at that time. This district is over 100 years old, and so a lot of these facilities are as well 100 years old. The red line is the watershed boundary that we determined from this elevation data that I spoke about earlier, LIDAR data as well as our field assessments. the squiggly lines within are flow paths that were determined based on a watershed model, like a computer watershed model that used the elevation data to determine the flow paths of water where it would run in concentrated flow based on the elevation information. So water generally runs downhill, and that's generally the way these flow paths will run as well. To the facilities of the district. Okay, the green line, wider line is the open ditch. The black line are the wider black lines are the tile facilities that we know of that were based on the original plat of the district. We did not determine or take into account any other private tiles that are not district facilities. There's some interior blue lines that are interior watersheds or interior drainage districts as well. And then this larger district of DD5, there's a number of other smaller tile districts as well. Then the pink or reddish shaded areas are lands that are outside the black dashed line, which is the assessment boundary, but inside our red watershed boundary. Okay? So those are lands that are currently not being assessed in the district. And as such, would conceivably be considered to be receiving benefit but not paying for the facility. Within this red line are all water, or is it areas where surface water flows to the facilities of the district. Okay, there may be other areas that are maybe tiled in, tiled out, that we don't know of. But that's information that maybe you can obtain later if needed. The brown line on here are the incorporated limits of the city, so Ames and Nevada. What else I'm missing here? Generally, the watershed area, the total area within the red boundary, the red line, is 10,788 acres. Okay, and there's the area that's within the black dashed line, current assessed boundary area is 8,879 acres for a difference of about 1,543 acres. Currently, are not reassessed for any of the facilities in the district. I believe this was initiated again by the board asking us to proceed. It was initiated by a landowner questioning some of the drainage in this area, I believe, and we found that there was a significant area up to that northwest that is indeed surface draining to these facilities. Again, the main up in that area is a 20-inch main. We did not examine the capacities of these lines. We have not been directed to do so. This is all that we've been directed to do until we discuss things with you guys here today. But I would bet good money that that's undersized. Significantly undersized. I don't know how many landowners do we have in this area, in the pink area here today?
One, two, four, six, seven.
Five, six, seven.
Nine.
Four. Five over here.
Nine or so.
Yeah.
Can you please explain again the difference between the blue boundary and the red boundary?
The blue boundary was a boundary that was determined back in the when the district was established.
When was that? 1906, I believe.
Yeah, early 1900s, I don't have an exact date on that. So, in those days, they didn't have the LIDAR data. They didn't have computers, of course. They didn't have a lot of the information that we have today. We found a large number of cases where areas are indeed flowing to the facilities and benefiting from them, but are not being assessed. That's very common. Certainly, in those days, they, for whatever reason, they wanted to get this district established. They may have left those people out just because there was they were afraid of remonstrance. Those people were all against it. They might have just left them out. Who knows? There's a lot of information that we don't know that occurred in those days. Again, they were riding horsebacks and determining boundaries. And if this area is flat enough, there's times where in flat areas it's pretty hard to determine just by looking at the ground where the water flows. But for whatever reason, that is what they established it at. And it's not an exact thing. It was, again, a scanned-in from the original plats. Our line, however, is based on exact elevation data from the LIDAR data and follows the hills and high spots.
What can you tell us about the interstate? I understand LIDAR, topography map will show that, but as you see the section 19, there's a sliver there that's obviously divided by the interstate. Has there been any on-site determination of that flow, such as tile outlets, culverts?
The culvert data on the interstate was, we looked at old plans, so we didn't want to get out on the interstate too much,
right,
and look at that area to confirm any of that, but we thought those plans would have been reasonably accurate enough, so that's what that was based on.
Are some of the areas that are in red now, are they in a different watershed?
Some areas are, yes.
And so are they being assessed in a different watershed?
Yes, and I'm sorry, I didn't really bring that up. I guess the blue areas, the blue shaded areas, are areas that are flowing to the district but are in other districts. Example, there's a sliver here that surface flows in. With our knowledge, there is no other tiles out. On the other hand, Milford 55 is surface draining in based on all the culvert information. That's kind of a complicated area with the interstate. But as I recall, in Milford 55, there's a tile that follows along the north side of that road that tiles that water out. Okay, so that would be a case where it would be in two districts. If surface flows in, it tiles out. And just this morning, dealt with a reclassification. If annexation proceedings are approved with this, these parcels would be annexed in. And then it would lead to reclassification, which is when we reestablish the benefits and redetermine the benefits for all these parcels. Okay, and that's another complicated issue that involves typically five typical factors that are used to determine that. One of which is whether you have water that drains out of the district by tile. Therefore, there'd be a reduction applied to that, or you would not be assessed as much. Your benefits would be less. There was a question.
So, how many acres do you say 8,800 acres were being assessed?
Correct. Yeah. 8,879 from the top can look at all these maps on the top folder. Yes, sir.
So what are the benefits of the red shaded area landowners? Or what benefit is it going to be if the annexed in?
They have surface water that flows to the facilities. So their water has to be drained away by these facilities.
And that same water was drained in 1906 when they put that in too?
That I can't answer.
I can. I've lived there 30 years.
You were there in 1906?
No, but I know people that were.
Okay. But, yeah. That I can't answer. But
so back to my original question, what benefit is it going to be to this red shaded area?
They can benefit from the facilities if these facilities are brought closer, if an outlet is brought nearer to them.
And that's an if?
Pardon?
You said if, right?
Yes.
And so is there any guarantee?
Is there a guarantee? No.
Yes.
No, there really isn't.
So then of what benefit would it be to be in favor of being
annexed in? If you would benefit from an outlet being brought closer to you.
There's that if again.
Is there actually talk of extending a tile up into that area?
We're here today to listen to you guys. You guys are the land. You guys are the landowners of the district. You will pay for the fees of whatever improvements are done, keeping the facilities in good repair, and it's, the board is here to listen to you guys and have input from what you want.
All right. Section 29 of Milford. There was a lawsuit filed in the 40s or 50s that I think someone should investigate because land was piled to divert water. Well, one direction versus another. And the person doing the diverting was found at fault and forced to remove
it. I can believe that.
Principal.
That determines that lawsuit which way the water goes. And what you have shaded in red goes two different ways.
I comment on that.
There's private tile. In Section 30 of Milford, it goes into Section 29 of Milford, goes back into Section 30 of Milford, and continues straight south and dumps under the railroad tracks. It's an 18-inch main at the railroad tracks. That water does not even go into the Blue Watershed Grant Number 5. It is private tile.
Is that the same private tile that outlets through that wetland?
Calston Marsh. It goes through Calston Marsh.
Okay, do you have information on that?
The tile guy contacted
me,
Ralph Lucci. He's been the tile contractor that has worked on that tile several times. I've had
it done again to the willow trees, man.
Right.
So that
person is going to be here, but I can get you his contact information. We had spoken this morning. That would be of value.
I
would suggest, before you get too carried away on this, maybe the next 5-inch rain, maybe get your phone number and have you come down and take a look and see between the water's flowing. It makes a lot of difference.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's some issues that you guys haven't addressed. Number one, the lawsuit. Number two, the private line that comes out of Section 30 into 29 back into 30 and south. Carries a lot of water.
Okay. Yeah, we have not looked at any private tiles.
I would suggest, in order to correct the red shaded area, there needs to be a new water district coming up to the west of Grant 5. That would alleviate all the running water that you're talking about in the red shaded area coming into Grant. Or a great portion of it, 75-80%.
You're saying create a new You're saying create a new drainage district?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Kent, a question more procedural, and this is mainly for Scott's advantage. Is it helpful when they're, since he's trying to take notes, if they would identify who you are, your name, and so forth, so for the record, that way if we need to follow up with communication, it would be very helpful?
Certainly.
Good idea.
I signed in. Devin Smith.
Devin Smith? Okay.
Devin Smith.
Thank you.
I live at 20432-577. Yeah.
You had some information, too.
Okay. Chasker, Lockford Farms.
I'm not opposed. If you were going to do something to help out the red shaded area in Drainage District 5, I'm all in favor of it. I'll pay twice. It's that much of swamp land up there.
I'll also back what Dennis is saying. Since we own a significant portion of Section 29, I know for a fact when we had worked with a line on a pipeline, we have, I mean, there's clear surface water that outlets from Section 29 through an outlet through a road culvert that goes right past the pump station, whatever you want to call it, that then, as Dennis is saying, goes through 29 back into 30, it goes through 30 and 31. And I've got pictures of that. In fact, I know when I initiated the project, first off, I had pictures that I had shown the board, and we still have those. I don't know, Scott, you have those today or not. But.
Not with me.
Okay.
I've got some information. Thank you.
Yeah, those were. Some of them did. The resolutions weren't exactly optimal, but we do have those with very cement.
I've got another little bit I can add. Section 19 on the west side, that was brought up on the west side of Interstate 35. I've been on two towers there, jobs there by the Iowa DOT. That tile also goes into the 18-inch main on the west side of 570th Avenue that exits down the railroad tracks.
Does it run pretty much straight north and south along 570, that private tile?
Yes, it does. One of the reasons is last summer, Iowa DOT.
But again, those are tiles.
And that it's also surface water. I once again would encourage you to come out here in the rain and understand how it works.
And again, that common for surface water to go one way and tile to go another.
In this case, they both look the same.
Yeah, we certainly would like you to get us all that information that you have that would indicate where those tiles
are. We have it anytime.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Roger. Is there any feasibility study on what size tile needs to be done to make that this one point up?
We've not done that yet. If there's interest in that, you guys have to let us know.
Let's just take this second and be really clear on how we got here and what we're doing here tonight. Request was made by a landowner to look into, I think it was mainly surface drainage you were worried about, but there was somebody who would...
Two parts. We wanted the feasibility study that Roger just mentioned, but first we wanted to tackle the annexation possibility. And I think where we're ultimately discovering we're going with this is that it's not only maybe two parts, but three, a new district, annexation, and scope of the new main possibly.
Yeah, and so the three of us didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, by the way, let's go look at Grant 5 and see if we can pull some other landowners in. Got the request. We asked Kent, as our drainage engineer, to take a look at those questions. And today is the first time that we're talking about any of this. This is, you get, for those of you that live in Grant 5, this is your drainage district. Now, for me, if there in fact is surface water draining into Grant 5 that's not part of the schedule, that should be accounted for. Those people should be paying their share in order to maintain this district. If there's any desire to create a new drainage district, I don't know anything about that. That would be interesting to get a group of landowners, and I'd love to be part of the process, get a group of landowners together who want to do something with drainage and see what the process is, but that's entirely outside the scope of this conversation today. And then, once we determine those two things, then it's up to the people in Grant 5, and if we annex more in, those people as well, to determine what they want their facilities to be. It is you guys who are paying for it, right? It's your call what this drainage district looks like. We're bound by law to do one thing and one thing only, and that is maintain this district to its original specifications. We're not bound, and Kent, help me if I miss this, we're not bound to increase anything, do any more. We are bound that when we find that there's a deficiency from where it was built back in 1906 or whenever the construction was completed, we have to take it back to that, and you guys get to pay for it. We're here tonight to figure out what, if anything, we do with this report and where we go from here.
And to expand on that a little bit, Rick, is if there is if a landowner would like us to examine more, to look at the facilities and examine the capacities and whatever improvements could be made, there needs to be a petition for that. Sign a petition. It only has to be one landowner. That's all that's needed. Just to file a petition for a request for an investigation. Yes?
Have you looked at the possibility of running that 20-inch main, to make it bigger, but to run that on up into that red area?
I mean, that looks like a logical thing to do, but have we spent any time looking at that?
No. The reason I ask that is that it would need to go under the railroad track.
Yeah, that's always a challenge.
Maybe we could do that at the hour when the railroad
is together.
What railroad is it? Is that the Union Pacific? And we could get a group application. We're already applying for one under the.
Yeah, they charge us $500 to apply to repair a tile under the UP.
But they
did. And if they're going to grant us their permit,
another $750.
You know, we've got to send them another $750.
So.
Yes.
But the very point you bring up about working with the Union Pacific Railroad is a very important one, because what Rogers alluded to on the 20-inch main is so terribly overloaded now that it could be twice that size and still not be totally effective. And so, if there's no possible way to get a larger main underneath the Union Pacific Railroad, then why are we even having this discussion?
Well, you can get it under there.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying it complicates things some. One, they won't pay. They used to pay for any tiles that went under the railroad. There's been appeals. There's been lawsuits and appeals for that as well. The drainage districts won a lawsuit against the railroad at one point, and then the railroad appealed, and the drainage districts, as it stands now, lost in appeal, where drainage tile crossings under the railroad are paid for by the drainage districts, by the landowners. However, culverts to direct surface flows, they must pay for. The railroad pays for all surface crossings, culverts, bridges.
And now let's just be clear, we've got a 29 going under the railroad tracks right now, right?
I think that's where I'm getting my eyes aren't.
24. Boy, I see that as a 9.
26 or 29, but that's just off the DNR maps.
Yeah, based off of our
our maps, it was a 29 or 26, wherever that change is in there, it's not clear.
You know, how deep would you want a big main like that, minimum 4 foot?
No, you want a 3 foot cover or so, yeah.
I mean, it's whatever it is, at best 4 foot on the north side right now. So
what's that?
Right now, at best, it's 4 foot on the north side of the right foot. So saying, you know, back in the 1900s, when they put that in, they didn't give up any grade. If you go to a 40-inch, you're going to be at best a short of 3.
Well, we can, you know, they didn't want to dig any more than they had to in those days, so.
Well, and that goes back to, like Dennis said, the tile follows the surface flow, right? So they didn't have the equipment we have today, so probably the surface water and tile will follow the same path.
Exactly. Well, we can get it deeper now.
Well, right, but what are you going to go through to get deeper? I mean, the outlet's a mile away.
Part you're going to go, there's an open ditch down here.
Is there a possibility of extending that open ditch?
Certainly.
We've been involved in a project in Humboldt County that was more feasible to look at extending the ditch than put a big main.
And that's the thing, when you get to the larger size pipes, there's a point where it's cheaper to do the ditch. The problem is $10,000 acre land, cutting up somebody's property, those are all issues that have to be dealt with. With all of this is going to be an improvement. Okay, what comes with an improvement? Wetland conversions. Everybody would be encouraged to obtain a wetland determination on their property if they don't already have one. It's becoming more and more important in the farm program and in the farming practices anymore that a wetland determination is important as you need. Essentially, because if tiling is done on your property and it is found that those tiles convert a farm wetland, you can be kicked out of the program. The farm program, depending on when that's done, if you don't farm that piece that's considered a farm wetland, then you would not have wouldn't be affected by that. But again, it's significant issues by conversion of farm wetlands. Any other comments?
So I guess we need a little direction on which way you guys want to see this go.
Starting a new drainage district is possible. Absolutely. It's done. It's not done very often anymore. We would need guidance on doing that. I would recommend a drainage attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that requires a petition. We want to have that group that's in that, considered to be in that drainage district, you want to have them rather well formed and have the best agreements in place initially. That's what I would suggest.
If that were the case, it would be relatively small drainage districts that one on the west side. But it could also take some of the water out of the pipe in section 30, section 29.
I could be much clearer on that after we get some of these maps and stuff that we finally are out there now. Once we get that placed onto our map and examine this a little further, I think we could have
have some of that information more clearly defined.
Yes. The next step, then, feasibility study, engineering study, or what?
I believe that makes sense to look at, or to examine the district further, the capacities of these lines, these tile lines. Probably want us to look at, probably want to look at that open ditch, if that open ditch would be able to accept a larger, much larger tile. I don't know when that's been cleaned last. We want to look at that, if that needs cleaning. We can look at some improvements up in that area, the possible creation of another drainage district, where that might occur. All these issues can be looked at.
Well, I would be a huge fan of anything that put less water, ultimately put less water in the open ditch of Grant 5. I think if you talk to some of the people, our friend Sal Jensen couldn't be with us today. I have a standing phone call with Sal a lot of the time on some of this. I think would be a huge fan if it was possible. First of all, if this water up on the northwest side is really flowing, staying outside the district and flowing down, I think we need to know that, because I trust that what the LIDAR is telling them in terms of the way the flow patterns look, I trust that. I also remember hearing something about the lawsuit where there was some artificial barriers put in place to divert water. It just seems to me, so I think of that little, I'm going to call it a gully that runs just to the west of Barilla, runs under Lincoln Way. That thing never has water in it, ever. I would love to, if we can, and I don't know what we're allowed to do, but I would love to take as much water as we can from up in the northern part, beyond Grant 5 and even in the northern part of Grant 5, and steer it, if possible, toward an area that I know is not taking a lot of water right now. I know it gets down to the Skunk River pretty easily, and I think it makes a lot of sense. We're just way outside anything the three of us have ever looked into now. So I'd like to know how we would go about looking into it, who would pay for it. I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be the existing members of Grant 5 that would be paying for anything that we would look at least initially. And then these guys need to weigh in on if it's worth spending some dollars and looking into it or not.
Certainly, that's an issue. Anytime you look at diverting water from its normal path, is a very sticky issue.
Right, but I'm hearing that there's some gray area here in terms of maybe it's not doing exactly what I just think it might be worth looking into to see what that is.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot of things that we need to look into, and I think that may be one of them. Certainly all the talk of water quality issues and as such, there may be some good opportunities for water treatment in this area as well. Wetlands, prep wetlands. There's money for prep wetlands. If you wait long enough, about 8 years out now, I believe you're prep. Seven years out for prep money for wetland creation. Borrowers, there's other ways to create wetlands. There's other monies too
for that.
Huh?
There's other funding sources that are being utilized for that prep program right now.
Yeah, there's a number of different sources for money because there's a big push for water quality coming from farmland. So these are all things that, if we are directed by you guys, that we can look into. Certainly, the wetland issue is wetland creation, in my opinion, is one of the best methods to treat water. It treats larger amounts of water. It does a better job. It's longer lasting. However, the downfalls, it takes areas out of production. You have to have an area that naturally fits in, and they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one more red shaded area you have there, right? To the east side of Main, there's a little square box, no, on the east side of Main.
East of the home.
Right there. Eric, you can back me up on this. You guys farm that, that water all goes towards the Main area, not into Grant side.
Really? That's the tile or surface?
Surface. Both. Both go south and west.
Okay.
Into that open ditch and then it goes under the tracks.
Exactly. The one you're talking about, Rick?
Uh-huh.
That water goes that way.
Yeah. That would probably be included in the new district rather than the balance.
Well, it sounds like we need to do some more examination of our boundaries.
Well, maybe we need to do. Yeah, I mean, so you guys, we're to the point now where you guys weigh in, and you collectively hold all the cards, right? So we're the drainage district trustees because nobody from within the district wants to step up and meet drainage district trustees. It makes perfect sense to me. It doesn't work real well. It works better when you've got people from outside the district in this role. But you guys get to determine that. You get to determine, or at least, yeah, because there's nothing here where we're saying we've got to bring this back to original specifications. This is all above and beyond.
Repair.
Yeah, so you guys hold all the cards here. We can forget this right now and move on, and there can be a subgroup that starts to look at the idea of a separate drainage district or not. We can start to dig into all this and see what the district really looks like. I mean, we've done this preliminary 30,000 foot, maybe literally 4,000 foot overview of this thing, and now you guys get to weigh in on what, if anything, we do with finding more information.
So you need a written petition, or not petition, but you need an initiation in writing to Scott for the study on the Main. Then you'll also need one for the possibility of creating a new district. Is that what I'm hearing?
So typically, that's what.
To start. I mean, we can't verbally vote on it. That's what Scott will need for you guys to start your.
I would think the petition for the new district or the information about that would need to come from somebody that's in that red shaded area.
Sure.
Because anything that we do in this district right now. If you're in that red shaded area, it's not going to cost you any money for any of this engineer study. It's not going to show up on your assessment. It's going to show up on the people that live in the current district.
We're in that gray area in 29 where I feel like what Dennis is saying, we'll be glad to pay any improvements and all improvements because, like he said, you need to see it after a pour and drain because we are putting water down 29 and PD5, but I think the creation of the new district, and if you were to look at the flow of the new the surface water and tile, we're dumping in to what would be possibly the new district. So
it would take pressure off the old district.
And that's where I think you're going to have two studies on the new Main. You're going to have one that's going to show as is with this today that we're looking at, but also then with the new district possibility to release pressure off, you'll have new specifications for your tile. So there's more points.
There's a lot of points.
This is complicated. This is complicated, and we just finished Marshall Story 1, which was an $850,000 project that I thought was brutally complicated.
That was simple.
And you guys are taking the cake.
And that job wasn't a whole lot different from this. Didn't we take a 20-inch main and take it to a 42-inch main?
Yeah.
Cleaned out a much shorter ditch than what's in this district.
Annex property.
Annex.
Did a little reclassification.
Reclassified it.
Right away. Acquired right away.
We're looking at about $850,000 to get that done.
For the whole thing, the study and the engineering?
Yeah, everything. Engineering.
All
everything.
Work.
Whole total bill is going to be about.
Acres.
And that was for how many acres?
2,700. Approximately 2,700.
Yeah. 2,700 acres. So. This is a part I don't like. This is literally us sitting up here spending somebody else's money.
It was what I'm not. So I have a comfort level if we're doing what the law says we must do, which is maintain the facilities. That's not what we're talking about here today. We're not talking about maintaining the facilities.
But if somebody petitions to the board, ask trustees of the district to do a study, then you are required to proceed with that study. Hire an engineer and proceed with the study.
Could you still stay in this district, but reroute the water, you know, everything would be annexed into this one, but take basically the stuff that's in the supposed annex and go left with it, you know, and still be in this, you know, like take pressure off the old district, but over. You know, especially still in the same district. But
we could look at a number of options, and I think that may be one of them. To me, that's going to be very difficult to do.
Are you saying that it's going to be more difficult to just expand the current district rather than create an entire new district?
Possibly. Anytime you start diverting water onto somebody else, what are they going to say? They're not going to want it for long. They're going to cry, and they're going to probably end up in a lawsuit.
I don't think what Eric's talking about is the conversion water. It would all be underground water.
Well, and plus it's going that way a little bit anyway.
It's just, I mean, yeah, the map up there isn't entirely correct. Knowing how the water flows, okay, anyway. Well, and, you know, my grandpa says that when they built, redid the interstate, they sent a lot of that surface water down this way. I had no place.
Yep.
My husband's husband. So, you know, there again, you can go back on state for me. You know, once it's done, nobody, you know, anybody turns their head. But, you know, when was this tile put in back in 1920? When did they redo the interstate? 50s or 60s? Now we're stuck with more water.
Well, we just dealt with, 2 years ago, we dealt with some of those old Skunk River drainage districts that were actually split by the interstate, right? And didn't we abandon some property on the west side? I mean, we split districts, and it looks to me like this water that you're talking about going down the west side, outside of Grant 5 down the west side, ultimately ends up right down there. I mean, the interstate's going to be the barrier that's going to hold it and take it down to the Skunk River where it all crosses. We've already had to do some kind of strange things along those Skunk River drains districts. And I don't know if my inclination is there's no easy answer. If we want to dig in, there's no easy answer. But it might be worth the conversation. The problem is the conversation is going to cost money. And the reality is the money that's going to cost, at least up front, before you do anything else, the money it's going to cost is going to come out of Grant 5. It's going to come out of you guys' pocket for any conversation at all along here. Now, that may change if you start to form a new drainage district or do some things like that. It may come from other places. But there's no pot of dollars that the county has that we just put into this. It would come straight from the landowners in Grant 5 if you guys wanted to look into this.
How many people are here that would be in this new district that have land?
So that's the red areas. That's the areas kind of on the north side.
Well, it'd be on the... You're saying all this would be a new district?
Not all of it.
Just part of it?
Of course, no. But I would say 50% of it.
Okay. And that water would come down...
Straight
south here.
Into the ditch that Greg is talking about under the railroad track.
Where is that field?
It's south of 13th.
Right over there.
Across the railroad tracks just to the east of Barilla, right?
Yeah, section 6, it's going to be that big white building is Barilla. And just right east of that is a creek.
That private 18-inch tile bumps into that ditch.
And if a new drainage system was established there, that's also where it would dump. So it would be much larger. It's 18, and I dare say that it could stand 2.5 times that.
And it doesn't run like it used to. You know, it doesn't.
And is that a natural stream? What is that little gully? I mean, because it seems to me that all drainage districts ultimately empty into a stream or a river or something like that, right, Kent? So if it's an existing stream, then it's got to be accessible by a drainage district.
Well, not necessarily. It could be an unnamed stream that it's draining into, but it's not in. What I'm seeing, I don't believe it's in an existing drainage district. That area is not a
right.
No, there isn't a drainage.
There is no drainage
district. But I do know that when they established the Grant 5 in 1906, there was water up to that same district. It happened to be.
Well, I'd love to see what we learn, but I don't own any property at all in this district. It's not going to cost me a dime for us to dig into. It's all of you.
How is this current study?
Grant 5. The assessment. Everything we've spent to this point is coming out of the existing landowners in Grant 5.
So I think it's going to require a petition from a landowner if we want to further investigate the capacity of the tiles and see where they're at. If we get that petition, then we'll probably have Mr. Rohde do
it doesn't have anything fancy, just a handwritten note.
Got a pad of paper up here if someone wants to do it on the way out. But yeah, and any discussion of a new district would be separate from that. And, you know, that may be a conversation that the landowners in that area get together. And I, like Rick said, this is all new for us. I have no idea what it would take to create a new district.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think since we're the drainage district trustees for our 119 drainage districts here in Story County, I would say that the three of us could facilitate a conversation. If there were a few landowners that wanted to get together and start the exploration process of creating this thing, there's got to be a mechanism to do it.
Oh, there is. It's laid out in the code, yeah. Chapter 468. I mean, it's fairly laid out there. But, again, it's something that's not done every day anymore.
I'm sure it won't raise any eyebrows, create a new drainage district to...
I'm at subject to a new drainage district in the code, 468.6 through 468.10. The request has to be by two or more landowners in the area. And one of the pertinent things is that they have to file with the petition a bond in an amount fixed and sureties approved by the auditor, conditioned for the payment of all costs and expenses incurred in the proceedings in case the district is not finally established. So if they petition for a new district and it is found that that's not justified, then that bond has to cover the costs incurred to that point. There'll be no cost to anybody else but the people that posted the bond. So that is a deterrent for anybody who wants to establish a new district. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the more people you have agreeing to that, the cheaper it would be. The more likely it would be that that it would go through. Again, remonstrance is 50% of the majority of the landowners owning 70% of the land can stop any improvement. Also,
again, on the new district. If the district was approved and created, then the cost would be assessed to everybody in the district and the bond would not be used.
As a creator, right.
Right.
Yes.
Chuck Myers. If you do the study to enlarge and make this 20-inch go farther north into this redded area, would there be a way to get some of the money for the study from the Redding area?
Yeah, if it's
internally improved them, actually, the land I'm looking after does do well if you watch things that that's beside the point. But going farther north isn't going to help me again.
Correct.
And
yeah,
I'm sure the guys that are along this green line of the open ditch would just as soon not another drop of water running in, because I've seen it overflow
sure.
a lot of times. So if you put a 48 in there, that overloads it. But before I would be for any studies about going farther north, I want to know that these guys that are going to get that advantage would be putting some into the pot to start with.
And that would be part of it, yeah. We would look at the annexation. Again, we would confirm what areas truly are casting surface water into the districts, into the district facilities, and ones that would benefit would pay for those costs.
You're basically saying those who would benefit directly from any improvements would pay most of the costs of those improvements.
Yes.
And the rest of the district would not necessarily be assessed for those improvements that did not directly affect the district.
There would have to be a reclassification of the percent benefit
right.
of all the acres within the district, which then therefore the auditor would have to distribute out. And that is how you would therefore as a landowner be taxed essentially.
Correct.
Construction schedule.
This was brought up when we did our joint Pocahontas Humboldt.
Right now, I'm not sure. There's
one schedule.
There's one schedule.
For Grant 5.
One schedule for Grant 5 with schedules for each of these individual tile districts, correct?
Yes.
There would be a new schedule for under reclassification, if there's any improvement. It requires reclassification, okay? And as part of that, we would look at annexation to determine those areas that are benefiting, that are outside of the existing assessment boundary, if there is any. Okay? Under reclassification, each facility would have its own schedule. So what that means is only those people that benefit from that facility would be paying for it. If they are within the watershed of that facility, they would pay a portion for their benefits. And again, there's a number of factors that are looked at. The acres, wetness, how wet are your soils, proximity, how far away are you from the facility? How much of the facility do you use? Do you use all of it? Or are you very at the very bottom where you only use a portion of it? Runoff factor. Any roads, railroads, they cast a much greater percentage of water because they're hard surface than ag land is. So they would have a higher factor. Again, the factor for being tiled out is a reduction. Water that flows out of the district, you would get a reduction. Pretty briefly on how reclassification works, but only those people that would benefit would be paid.
Do you remember, Kent, what it cost us to do the review prior to the decision on Marshall Story 1 to go ahead with the project? Do you remember how many dollars we had spent up to that point to have INS go in and review everything and look? And I just want to give everybody a rough idea of what we're talking about. So it looks to me like we haven't even talked about the land right on the city limits or just inside the city limits of Nevada that we think is at least surface draining to this. There's clearly some issues in Grant 5 that we need to look into. I think I'd just soon just talk about Grant 5, take a look at the drainage district, see what our facilities are doing, see if the open ditch
because whoever said the open ditch probably can't handle any more water, I tend to agree with that. But see where we are. But there's a there. I thought it was like, was it $50,000 or $60,000 all said and done?
Hesitate to even throw a number out there before we even got into
control. I'm saying when we got to the point where we had, you know, a couple of the big public hearings over in State Center, before we even got to the decisions point, we had spent X number of dollars to do all the due diligence, to present the full project. Here's what we want to go to the 42-inch. We want to do some things like that.
I would say it could. And I can't remember what that one was, but I would say this one could easily be $50,000.
Yeah.
Your sister and her shake your head at
$50,000. That's what it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, I could see $15,000 to $20,000 just for the preliminary report. And that's a guess on my part, looking at what we've done in the past with Fox Engineering before INS.
All right, so next step, if Grant 5 wants to come out and do a full look at Grant 5, including a more detailed look at who's surface draining in, where the real flow patterns are, what kind of feasibility there is to have water go somewhere else, that's the preliminary report.
Yes.
Then we would get back together in a public meeting if we did the preliminary report?
Yeah, and that will be presented to the landowners, and the report would typically include options, you know, option one, do nothing, option two, repair any problems, option three, improvement, something like that.
Yeah, it would be a report, and we would have a hearing much similar to this, but at that hearing, it'd be a formal hearing, and decisions could be made.
Well, not only would it be a formal hearing, we'd have a lot more information rather than we just ask you to take a superficial look at what's going on here.
And you know, to get you guys' input on what is going on. And I think we've got a lot of good information here that is going to be useful to us in any further study that is needed.
When's the last time we assessed this district, Scott?
Last year.
And how much? What did we spend? Do you remember what the assessment was?
I recall it was probably in the neighborhood of $10,000. And that was because we're currently our integrated roadside vegetation management team is clearing trees out of the ditch.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process.
No, but that should give people a feel. If we did $10,000 last year, and if we were talking about it would cost us 20-ish to do a preliminary report, then double what your assessment was last year, and that's kind of what you're talking about here, to do a preliminary report on this.
And then 20 is probably a starting figure. It could be much more.
That would be light.
Big district.
Looking at some of the issues we have with this.
That would be light, okay. But that would be the next time, if we moved on, that would be the next time that landowners would have an opportunity to get input. So we would leave here.
Well, formally, yeah. But, I mean, we're always open. We always,
right, sure. Know,
our office is always available, email. And we're certainly going to be in conversation with a few of you guys here now and tell that. So,
yeah. I'm just trying to give everybody an idea of where this thing is going from here.
Potential
if it goes anywhere.
Yeah, I see potential for a big improvement project I'm looking at here, and I think the cost will be $1 million.
So,
nobody passed out.
No, didn't caught their breath yet. So I guess for now we need a petition from a landowner in this current Grant 5 to either send it to me, send it to Scott, just requesting that the facilities be an investigation made of the facilities in the district,
and that'll trigger all of it.
That'll trigger the start.
Okay, so then one landowner has the ability to trigger all of that. Now's your chance to give some input. Somebody's going to trigger this. I mean, but now's your chance to give some input while you've got neighbors sitting here on your field.
It's always nice if the petition has more than one handle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buying in.
Going back to Dennis's point, in the investigation, he mentioned about the diversion of water in that lawsuit. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to investigate that?
I need to look at that first. Yeah. I have no clue.
We'll review the history of the entire district.
Yeah, we'll look at all the histories. Part of our investigation, okay. That's one thing we do. We look at all the history.
Okay.
We usually have a whole table of the history of the district. Certainly, some of this might be more important than others.
So, yes. Ken, you said grant $5 and $1 million upgrade. What are you going to get for $1 million? What would be
a guess?
Just off the top of your head.
You see what I have on top of my head now? It's just on the top of my head.
You talking a new 40-inch main underneath the railroad tracks? And if so, where is it going to dump into if it's not allowed to dump into the existing ditch and all of a sudden $1 million doesn't go anywhere?
It's got to go into that ditch, yeah. And if that ditch can't handle it, we're going to have to improve that ditch. Well, then you're looking at another.
Right.
Right.
Where do you end? You see where that ditch goes down here.
Right.
I don't.
You see my point, though.
And you see my point. I don't really, we don't have any clue at this point of what that might be.
So if a study is done here, will there be some answers to those questions?
What are the problems? Are there problems in these areas, too? Is it just this area that has problems? Is it all this area? What are you guys saying?
It's all slow draining.
Yeah, 33, 29.
These tiles are all undersized. They're all over 100 years old.
Especially anything north of the railroad.
Yes.
North of the railroad?
Starting
the
railroad at work north. It gets increasingly worse the further north.
Yep. Ken, tell them what we did with Marshall Story 1. What was the, and I hope I get this right, the drainage coefficient? What you were looking at, what we went to by going to the 42?
Recommendations, it's recommended that for today's farming practices that tiles have been designed for a half-inch drainage coefficient. Okay, a half-inch drainage coefficient, what that means is if a half-inch rain falls on your property, it is able to be drained away by that tile within 24 hours. If 1-inch rain falls, it takes 2 days. Okay, that's based on what they perceive as the amount of time that water can stand, or crops can stand with wet feet. Partially flooded. Certainly there's depressional areas that may require even 1-inch drainage coefficient. On areas that don't have good surface drainage, it is recommended that a 1-inch drainage coefficient be used. And for the tiles be sized higher. So in a lot of our studies will look at both and determine what the incremental cost is for that additional drainage.
And Marshall, in we were much less than a half inch when we started the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And the improvements took it to a half inch. So you're asking, what do you get for $1 million or $2 million or whatever the cost is to improve it? What you get is whatever your drainage is now, if it's 1/8 or a quarter or whatever.
1/16 to 1/8 inches.
How many miles? Is that a mile or 5,000?
It's not based on that. It's based on the area, your property. Okay, what?
I think he was asking how long was Marshall?
Yeah.
How long was Marshall Story 1 that we did the work? It was...
$800,000 is a 42-inch tile.
She's here.
That was 4,200. Around 4,000 plus or minus.
Not even a mile.
That was
right.
Yeah, we cleaned out half mile of ditch too. It's going to tree clearing. That includes full gamut, all the right of way.
Well, it was a district that didn't exist anymore, right? It had been let go for 50 years. And
tiles were, you could drive semis in these holes, blowouts on this tile. The tile was just completely failed.
But, what is fair to say is you're talking about big, big money to improve this. Now, the good news, I guess, there is you got almost 11,000 acres if annexation occurs. You know, almost 11,000 acres to split that up. Instead of, did you say 2,400?
That was one of the sub-districts. It's actually 4,400 on them.
So about half this size.
Yep. At the current size, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're
going
to have to go 3 miles. 4,000
Yeah, that's hard for me to say before they dig in. I'm still hopeful that there really is water that's already taken a different path. And if there is, what does that allow us to do if you guys dig in?
We're just guessing at any of that at this point, you know, until we get some real numbers. And that's the whole idea of the engineer's report, is to get those numbers where more informed decisions can be made. Yes?
How much is that, if there are all these improvements made, how is that divvied up amongst the landowners?
It is done through the classification process where we would assess all those landowners that benefit. As I was talking about earlier, the five primary factors that are used in every classification, we develop a schedule, and that determines the benefit that everybody in that watershed receives, and then it's spread against that. Put it up for you?
As mud.
There's been talk of if we increase flow into Grant Ditch number 5, that there may be improvements further down the line necessary. I'm kind of curious what could be improved, or have I misunderstood that? And I'd also like to say that my reason for concern there was I believe in the middle 80s, working for many years in that department, and I believe that it was a bridge work done on Grand Ditch 5. And at that time, I want to say it was the DNR that was limiting us from going any deeper. Some governmental body was not allowing any more dirt to be removed. And it was a topic of controversy at that time because we had tile outlets under dirt level, but they weren't letting us take any more dirt out. Obviously, right. The ditch had to be lower than those outlets originally.
Yeah.
But we're still limited by these governmental regulations to go deeper to improve flow further south.
And that's interesting that you say that. The district is allowed to keep their facilities in good repair. So what that means is, yeah, whenever this ditch was dug out at the original grade, you are allowed to repair those to that original grade. So I don't know all the details of what you're saying that the DNR wouldn't allow, but they should allow you to repair the facilities to their original capacity.
But essentially what you're telling me is, no matter how much water we dump into it, we're not going to get to go any deeper or wider.
That would be an improvement, and that would require some permitting. I'm not saying that it's not possible. It's a little more difficult.
At that time, it just seemed like it was an impossibility to do anything.
Well, didn't DOT reroute this thing when they put in Highway 30 back whenever they put in Highway? Again, my buddy Sally Jensen was telling me all about all the changes that have come on this ditch, and it feels like that was one of the things she told me about.
She could speak to the history a lot. Oh,
yeah.
You know something was solid.
So, hypothetical for you, Ken, I know you love those. Here's one for you. Let's say that we dug into this and we found out that the open ditch or dredge ditch was at full capacity right now. If we put any more water into it, it can't handle it. What are our options then?
Well, one thing, there's some misconceptions first on tile drainage. The same amount of water falls on a piece of parcel, whether it has tile or not. Tile, there's been studies done at the University of Iowa, but they did a good study. Again, it was a watershed model of a
drainage districts in Cedar Johnson County and Cedar Creek or something like that, I think, that determine that tile water does not increase flooding downstream. That's a short answer to it. I always refer to it as the sponge effect. Tiles take the subsurface waters out. It's like draining a sponge. You take that out all year long. But when the rain falls, then that sponge or the earth is more able to accept that water and not let it run off. Okay. So actually in the small storms, it may actually reduce flooding to some degree, but to a small degree. In the large storms, in the 50-100 year storms, tile has no effect. You've got so much water coming down when it hits it so hard, that tile has no effect whatsoever. So to answer your question, then, would a larger tile increase the flows downstream? My answer would be no.
Okay.
But you do need an outlet so we can get at that proper grade to get a larger size pipe turned into this ditch so you can have the elevation for the water.
All that water is getting there surfacely anyway. I mean, that's the problem.
Exactly.
So it's either you load it or you put it around.
Yeah.
But what ultimately, this isn't a specific question for you to answer, but for consideration, if you put that much more water from the top there coming down, it means everybody on the bottom, their water has to go out later and later and later and later. Is that correct?
If the facility isn't sized correctly, yeah. But that would be key.
When you're talking about adding that much more water,
that would be key to sizing the facility. Certainly now, these areas aren't flowing to this 20-inch tile, and we have them now, and that would have a detrimental effect.
Okay. Anybody have anything else they want to add or ask? So just so we're clear, we'll kind of remain in a holding pattern until we get a petition from one or more landowners in Grant 5 to investigate the facilities further. So if there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Motion to second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We'll stand adjourned. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you.
I know you can buy an acre that's not in a graded district.
I've never been to a graded district.
Hey, these folks were mild and civil.
I know, they're all quiet.
I could read it.
So, your house is up for sale?
No, it's rent sold.
I wish.